Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 49. This is the last verse of the chapter called The Passing Away of Bhishma Deva. Pitra Chanumatu Raja Vasudevanu Modita Takara Rajyam Dharmena Pitri Paitamaham Vibhu Pitrachanu Mato Raja Vasudevan Modita Chakara Rajyam Dharmena Pitri Paitamahan Vibhu. Please chant. Pitra Chanu Mato Raja Vasudevanu Modita Chakara Dharmena. Pitachanu Mato Raja Vasudevanu Modita Chakara Rajam Dharmena Petri Paita Mahan Vibhu Pitachanu Mato Raja Vasudevanu Modita Chakara Jam Dharmena Pitri Paita Vibhu Pitri Chanu Mato Raja Vasudeva Modita Chakara Jam Dharmena Pitri Paita Vibhu. Vasudevan Mohita Chakarajan Dharmena Pratamahayu Hita Chanu Mato Raja Vasudevan Mohita Chanu Mato Raja Vasudevanu Modita Chakarajam Dharmena Paitamahan Vibhu Pitra Chanu Mato Raja Vasudevanu Modita Chakarajam Dhamme Pitri Paita Man Vibhu Pitta Chanumato Raja Vasudeva Numodita Chakaram Raja Tamena Vichachanumato Raj Vasudeva Pitra, by his uncle Dhritarashtra, Cha, and Anumata, with his approval, Raja, King Yudhishthira, Vasudeva Anamoditaha, confirmed by Lord Sri Krishna, Chakara, executed Rajyam, the kingdom, Dharmena, in compliance with the codes of royal principles, Pitri, father, Paitamaha, forefather, Vibhu, as great as, translation and purport. After this, the great religious king Maharaj Yudhisthira executed the royal power in the kingdom strictly according to the codes and royal principles approved by his uncle and confirmed by Lord Sri Krishna. Maharaj Yudhisthira was not a mere tax collector. He was always conscious of his duty as a king, which is no less than that of a father or a spiritual master. The king is to see to the welfare of the citizens from all angles of social, political, economic, and spiritual upliftment. The king must know that human life is meant for liberating the encaged soul from the bondage of material conditions, and therefore, his duty is to see that the citizens are properly looked after to attain this highest stage of perfection. Maharaj Yudhisthira followed these principles strictly, as will be seen from the next chapter. Not only did he follow the principles, but he also got approval from his old uncle, who was experienced in political affairs, and that was also confirmed by Lord Krishna, the speaker of the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Maharaj Yudhisthira is the ideal monarch. And monarchy under a trained king like Maharaj Yudhisthira is by far the most superior form of government. Superior to modern republics or governments of the people, by the people, the mass of people, especially in this age of Kali, are all born Shudras, basically low-born, ill-trained, unfortunate, and badly associated. They themselves do not know the highest perfectional aim of life. Therefore, votes cast by them actually have no value, and thus persons elected by such irresponsible votes cannot be responsible representatives like Maharaj Yudhisthira. Om Agyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shulakaya Chakshushun Militam Jena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manom Vishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam rupaka dhammayam dadati swa padantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta parakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shirupam sagajatam sagana ragunatan bitam tam tam sajivam sadvetam savarutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna padan sagana lalita shri vishakhanvitam cha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vishvanu Sudha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpataruvyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gauri Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Pitta Chanu Mato Raja Vasudevanu Moditaha Chakara Rajyam Dharmena Pitta Paita Maham Vibhu. Srila Prabhupada actually gave a lecture on this verse 45 years ago in Mayapur. And the first thing he said, it's a very important verse because it's about the king's duty and how a king is recognized. We've been studying how Bhishma, on the deathbed of arrows, gave instructions to the Pandavas, especially to Maharaj Yudhisthira, because he knew that he would be the king. Now here in this verse, it's mentioned that Dhritarashtra is recognizing that Yudhisthira should become the king. Dhritarashtra is Yudhisthira's uncle. And Yudhisthira wanted his approval because he was the king. But of course he was not fully endowed with sensory power. He was blind. So actually he couldn't be the king. But because Yudhisthira's father died, Dhritarashtra, and the boys were too young, the princes were too young to take the kingdom, Dhritarashtra sat on the throne. So Yudhisthira recognizes this and approaches him and says, I would like to know, shall I be the king? And Dhritarashtra says, now your right to be the king is confirmed by me. Because, Prabhupada explained, the Pandavas had proven their prowess, proven their bodily strength on the battlefield. Everything was decided by the battle. Dhritarashtra said to Yudhisthira, we tried our strength against your strength, and you came out victorious. Therefore, I confirm that you become the king. So this was a religious fight between the Kauravas and the Pandavas. It's called Dharma Yuddha. Yuddha means fighting, like judo, Yuddha. Dharma Yuddha. So the Kshatriyas claim the throne by strength, by fighting. And here the words are used, Pitra Chanu Mato, that means that Yudhishthira would not accept the throne without the approval of his uncle. He wouldn't just walk in and say, okay, I won the fight, that's it, Dhritarashtra, we'll see you later. No, he took permission, and his right was confirmed by superiors, secondly, by Krishna, Vasudeva Chana Banu Modita, Vasudeva Anu Modita. And why did he take permission from Krishna? Because the king is the representative of God. He's called Nara Dev. Nara means human being and Deva means God among the human beings. So king is representative of God. He's not an ordinary person. Spiritual master also is representative of God. And so is the father. So they're mentioned in the purport. These are statements of Shastra. The king will guide the spiritual master, and the father will guide. That's their duty. So Krishna blessed Yudhishthira to guide the kingdom. And he took charge, and here it's mentioned he ruled by dharmic principles. Chakara, Rajyam, Dharmena. He executed the principles that have to do with the kingdom, as was done by forefathers. His forefathers are mentioned. His own father and others. And Prabhupada called attention to the main duty of the king. He said it's to see that the citizens become God conscious. That's first of all the father's duty, or the mother's duty, the parents. Help the children become God conscious. Then the spiritual master has that duty. When the boy or girl, the children grow up, they learn from the spiritual master who teaches them to be God conscious. And then ultimately the king is guiding them. And the principles by which he's guided, the principles of statesmanship, are to make the citizens Krishna conscious by education and culture. So properly looking after the citizens, looking after their all-around benefit, it's mentioned, that means political, social, and economic upliftment, and spiritual upliftment. So this is the whole system of human civilization. But Prabhupada said it's missing now. This spiritual element is missing in human civilization. There's misguidance by the ruling class, by the parents, by the teachers. The younger generations are taught by the older generations just how to be like the animals, like dogs and cats, two-legged animals. Meaning that animals don't know the goal of life. That's to understand Vishnu. Sometimes Prabhupada said the animals become devotees in special cases. Some animals of pets of devotees, they might become somewhat God conscious. But that's a rare case. Usually animals, the best you can do with an animal is train them how to do some tricks, like in a circus. So they can be instructed, but they can't be trained to become God conscious. Do we see any dogs and cats come into the Bhagavatam class? We have cats here, but they're not interested in... Radha Krishna raised his hand. He's coming. Hare Krishna. So we have to ask, if the goal is how to understand Vishnu, then we can apply this. How are we understanding Vishnu? In the morning when we apply tilak, we recite the names of Vishnu as we apply the tilak to the different parts of our body. Yeah? So we start thinking of Vishnu right away after our bath. But Yudhisthira, he was actually engaged with, interacting with Vishnu, Krishna. And there's some very beautiful prayers he offers from time to time in the Bhagavatam. I looked up the chapter in Krishna book called the... It's about the Rajasuya sacrifice. And here's a verse that Yudhisthira recites in honor of Krishna. And we can get something out of this. Let's try to understand Vishnu the way Yudhisthira does. He says, "Your real position is exalted and it's unchanging. Even though you take part in human affairs like our cousin, you are exactly like the sun, which always remains at the same temperature. The sun is at the same temperature when it's rising," Yudhisthira said. "The sun is at the same temperature when it's setting. But we feel a difference in temperature. At the rising time of the sun, we still feel cool because of the night air. And then in midday, we experience the heat of the sun. And again in the evening, it cools off. But the sun never changes. It's just our perception of a difference. Like this morning, it's cloudy, huh? Sun, we don't even see the sun so clearly until later. But Yudhisthira says the sun never changes," and he's using this analogy to describe Krishna. "You are transcendentally equipoised, you're transcendentally situated. You're never affected by any condition in material life. So for you, there are no relativities. When Prabhupada was lecturing, it was 1973, and of course he had experienced that the young people in America were hippies, and he took that as a sign that they hadn't been trained properly in these principles of God consciousness by their parents and by the teachers. So he criticized, you know, not... The king doesn't train the citizens to become hippies," he said. And Prabhupada defended his own activity of making the hippies devotees. He said he was criticized sometimes in India for claiming that his disciples were Brahmins. Because look at them, they were not raised as Brahmins, not born as Brahmins. Of course, there's a Brahminical class in India, people who were born in Brahmins' families. And Prabhupada had to critique those arguments that they used. And he said, according to Shastra, if someone is properly guided, then he can become God conscious. And that's the special privilege of human life. It's not restricted. It's not restricted that even the outcasts can be trained and educated. So what's that training? What's that training that's so important? Yesterday we heard about, from Bhrigupati, he was talking about the tapasya and the tapasvini. That was the Gandhari, the wife of Dhritarashtra. She was tapasvini. She executed the austerity of following her husband strictly. He was blind, so she bound her eyes. She covered her eyes so that she was affected by blindness. She wanted to be equal to her husband. So that Prabhupada praised her. He said she's equivalent to Bhishma. She's a great soul, equivalent to Bhishma Dev. So austerity is the training that citizens should receive. It's called tapa. Rishabhadev is famous for teaching his sons. He was the king. He was teaching his sons. He got them all together. He says, now we have to learn tapo divyam. We have to learn transcendental austerity. What is that? And he said, shudyat sattvam. Shuddha sattva. He says, you have to come to the transcendental understanding that our existence is pure. We're eternal, but we're subject to birth and death. Why? Because we're not pure. Therefore, we're diseased, you could say, huh? Diseased or infected by the material conditioning. Four principles, birth, death, disease, and old age. So if we follow the hygienic principle, like when you're sick, you follow a hygienic, take a particular medicine and some special diet, then you can become disinfected. We're part of Krishna. We have the same purity as Krishna, qualitatively. Just like a particle of gold is gold. So austerity is required to counteract the effect that has taken place by our original consciousness becoming contaminated. Our original consciousness is Krishna consciousness. And if we just undergo austerities, Prabhupada gave us four austerities to follow, then we'll become Krishna conscious. Other people, most of the people, they undergo austerity. They undergo hardships also, but for material gain. They want to get ahead. They want to succeed. They want the good things of life, and they work hard for those things. But Prabhupada said that's a waste of time. People are misled in that way. They all become like little Hiranyakashipus. Because the gain is only temporary. That's why it's a waste of time. My father worked hard and became successful. And I visited his home. He had a retirement home in Arizona next to a golf course. He liked to play golf. And my uncle and aunt came over to see me. And I said to my father, you know, you've worked so hard for this, but you're going to be giving it up. You're going to have to give up this gain in a few years. And he said, this is my house. He said, keep your philosophy to yourself in my house. Because the idea is to attain permanent happiness, but the religions in the world, they don't present the idea of permanent happiness in the complete way that it's presented in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, people aren't satisfied with the promise of permanent happiness offered by the other religions. But if you ask a devotee, why are you attracted to Krishna consciousness? He'll say, because the complete happiness, I can understand how it's obtainable. I understand what the spiritual world is going to be like. So it's the king's duty to teach all of this. And, of course, he has other duties. Some of the duties are to see that the citizens are protected, that they're secure, that they can enjoy life and enjoy property and develop Krishna consciousness. The Brahmin's duty, everyone has a duty. The Brahmin's duty is to guide the Kshatriyas. They check on the Kshatriyas. Are you actually executing your duty? And the king is checking on the others. Are the Brahmins actually executing their duty? Are the Vaishyas seeing to the economic development? And the Shudras, are they serving the other classes? So everyone develops a certain quality by their education and the culture. For example, a dentist goes to dentistry school and he passes the examination and then he's qualified. That's his quality. But Prabhupada said, you can't just sit home. If you're a dentist, you have to practice being a dentist. You can't just sit home and say, now I'm a dentist and not practice. This is the problem with the Brahmins, Prabhupada said. They'll claim I'm a Brahmin, but they don't work as a Brahmin. Nobody's checking on them. Are you working as a Brahmin? But Prabhupada was checking. And he criticized. He said, you're not. What is Brahmanism? He used the word Brahmanism. Brahmanism. Like communism, so many isms. So Brahmanism he connected to the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. He said, Brahmanism means you give everyone a chance. It's so nice that even, not only the four divisions of society, but even the outcasts who don't qualify as one of the social orders, the Yavanas, the Malechas, they can be raised to a higher platform, to the platform of a Brahmin, if they give up meat eating. Meat eating is for the lower castes in Vedic culture. The higher castes never eat meat. And then there, you can give up intoxication, you can give up gambling and illicit sex, and act like a Brahmin. And this is all sanctioned by the Bhagavad Gita. There's no restriction that a low-born person should remain low-born. He should be given enlightenment. This is like the king's duty. The king is supposed to enlighten everyone to be God-conscious. And the Brahmin is there too. He's teaching. Give everyone a chance. Like us, the devotees, we want to see others become devotees. We get this, we are taught this spirit by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said this is so urgent because now all the people, the whole human society, is run by Shudras. In Kali Yuga, everyone is a Shudra. No one is born in an elevated birth. You have to perform purification before conception, if you want to have an elevated birth, but nobody's doing that. So, Chakara, the principles of the state, Chakara Rajyam Dharmena. How do you establish Dharma? You follow in the footsteps of the previous kings. Prabhupada told an anecdote about the grandson of Maharaj Yudhisthira. His name was Parikit, the grandson of Yudhisthira, how he followed his predecessors. Once he was out traveling and he saw a man trying to kill a cow. So immediately Parikit took out his sword and challenged him. He said, do you think now that there's no more Yudhisthira, do you think there's no more Arjun, that you shall do anything you like killing a cow? So he was remembering his forefathers. And he said, still I am here. I'm their representative. You cannot do it. like that. When he was born, at his name-giving ceremony, all the learned Brahmins predicted that Parikshit would be like the previous kings. I'll read. The learned Brahmins said, this child shall be exactly like the son of Manu in maintaining all who are born. He'll be exactly like Ram, the personality of Godhead, the son of Maharaj Dasarath, in being true to his promise. Parikshit will be true to his promise, but like Lord Ram. This child will be a munificent donor of charity and the protector of the surrendered, like the famous King Shibi. And he will expand the name and fame of his family like Bharata. Bharata, the son of Maharaj Dushyanta. Amongst great bowmen, archers, bowmen, this child will be as good as Arjun. This is really good. He'll be as irresistible as fire and as unsurpassable as the ocean. Beautiful imagery. You can't go past the ocean very easily. So unsurpassable as the ocean. Quality of a king. This child will be as strong as a lion and as worthy of shelter as the Himalaya mountains. He'll be as worthy a shelter as the Himalayas. The Himalaya mountains are a shelter. He'll be forbearing like the earth, and he'll be as tolerant as his parents. This child will be like his grandfather Yudhisthira, or even Lord Brahma, in equanimity of mind. Equanimity of mind. He'll be munificent like Lord Shiva. He'll be the resort of everyone like Lord Narayan. He'll be almost as good as Krishna. He'll be as great as King Runti Dev. In religion, he'll be like Maharaj Yayati. This child will be like Bali Maharaj in patience. Who's Bali Maharaj? Who did he surrender to? Vamanadeva, yes. This child will be like Bali Maharaj in patience, a staunch devotee of Krishna like Prahlad Maharaj, and a performer of many sacrifices, and a follower of the old and experienced men. So, the monarchy was glorious, and as soon as it became personal property, when the kings began to think, this kingdom is mine, I can do whatever I like, and still the kingdom is mine, huh? Then the monarchy was a failure, and from then the whole world wiped out this monarchy. Everybody practically rebelled against the monarchy. Still there are a few kings in Europe, kings and queens. In the Bible, there's a version of the Bible called King James Bible. It's named after the king because he got together all the scholars and religious people, and he said, I want a new translation of the Bible that's very relevant to the people, and they provided this translation for him. And in the introduction to the Bible, it's written, all glories, sort of like that, all glories to King James, who is such a good king that he's thinking of the God consciousness of the citizens. He arranged for this wonderful contemporary translation of the King James Bible. When Prabhupada was closing his lecture in Mayapur on this verse, he said, so you'll see in the Bhagavatam, you'll see politics, you'll see sociology, culture, religion, philosophy, science, everything. It's a great science. It's not simply dogma. It's not just some miracles. And therefore, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it said Nigama. Nigama means the scriptures. Nigama kalpataror. They're like a desire tree. Kalpataror galitam palam idam. They'll give you what you desire. The Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedic literature, it's described. Nigama kalpataror galitam palam. It's the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature. So it contains all kinds of knowledge. You'll find knowledge about health, Ayurveda. You'll find knowledge about military science, Dhanurveda. You can get any, from a kalpa vriksha tree, a desire tree, you can get anything you want, anything you desire. That's the spiritual tree, the kalpa vriksha, found in the spiritual world. So Prabhupada said the Vedas are from the spiritual world. Therefore, you can get so much from them, anything you want to know. Any questions?
Should not be merely a tax collector.
Tax collector, right.
Yeah, actually he has to look after the welfare of the citizens, especially the spiritual welfare. Actually, it reminds me the in the ancient times, the
what?
King.
Reminds you of what?
In the ancient times in China, the king has to be a xianjun. Xianjun means a sentry king. He has to be like a sage, great sage.
Yes.
And he has to be like, he has to love, he has to, 爱民如子 means he has to love his citizens like his own sons. Mm-hmm. If the king can do like that, then there will be guo taiming, and there will be peace and prosperity for the kingdom.
Yes.
I just want to share this in the, you know, in the Chinese culture.
You're giving some Chinese words?
Yeah,
that's very good. Yeah, the Chinese, they've had emperors for many, many, many thousands of years, huh? They also can I respond? They also had some sense of God consciousness. In Beijing, they have the Temple of Heaven. That's for the King of Heaven, the Temple of the King of Heaven. And the emperor goes there to offer sacrifice in the spring so that there'll be a lot of rain. They ask the King of Heaven, please send a lot of rain so all the rice will grow and all the food will grow. You mentioned taxes. It says in the purport that the king is not just meant to be a tax collector. So I looked up on Google how much tax money is collected in the United States every year. Who wants to guess how much? Huh? Anybody? Loud? $5 billion. You gotta be kidding. $500 billion? Closer. Six times that. More than $3 trillion a year. The king has, the taxes are. So the king should, you know, he should, anyway, make laws like, you know, not so much slaughter of animals. Suppose a vegan became a king. Yesterday, Amarendra was telling me about a senator in the United States who's a strict vegan, a young senator. So suppose he became the king. Could he change the laws, you know, about meat eating? There'll still be some meat eating, but it can be reduced, I think. Mother Carter. The difference between a Mahatma, a Mahajan, and a Mahabhagavat. Mahajan, Jan means person, right? A Jan. So he's a great person. Bhagavat means a devotee of the Lord. Great devotee. But it could be that the Mahajan is also a Mahabhagavat. Certainly that's true. The Mahajans like Prahlad, Maharaj, Bhishma, so many. They're 12 Mahajans. They're all Mahabhagavats. But not all the Mahabhagavats are in this Mahajan category. The way the Mahajans are presented, they're presented as being a group of 12 great devotees who... So, that word Mahajan is less used, perhaps. Yes, but another question, bring the microphone. Well, he couldn't by himself. He had to get together the proper scholars and devotees to do it. But he could, you know, if he had maybe 1% goodness or 10% goodness, he might have enough goodness to want the benefit of others, even though he himself is... Admittedly, I'm a debauchee, but I want others to not fall into this debauchee life, so I have to give them something that is a proper guideline for life. It's possible some...
How can like a person in low consciousness, you know, give a proper understanding of something in
a prostitute? A prostitute instructed Bilba Mangala Thakur to become a devotee. How can a prostitute instruct someone to become a devotee? And the person follows the instruction and becomes pure devotee. Instruction can come from a debauchee.
But we've seen the result that the King James Version has had on society. That, well, people aren't even following the King James Version, but it also doesn't give a really clear description of what Christ and his followers were actually doing. Basically, you know, the Christians, they'll say the Hare Krishnas are demons, but in
Yeah, sometimes the Christians are against us, and some Christians are in favor of us. Hare Krishna. Did I tell you what my mother said about Krishna when she saw Krishna in the temple room? My mother was a Catholic. We had darshan of Radha, Vrindavan, Chandra. And as we were walking out of the temple room, my mother spoke in a whisper. She was, you know, keeping her voice low because she was in the church, so to speak. She said, "God doesn't look like that." Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Did you hear class?
Yeah.
I was looking because this morning, you know, I heard a guest was here, so I was looking, where's that guest? I didn't see him.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. But you were on time for the lecture. Yeah. Thank you. Here, take this, huh?